Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ben Decker's on the phone. Ben, it's John, and you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, likewise. I appreciate your time. But I guess at the end of the day, Ben, I mean, so we've been talking about this today, even before you joined the conversation. If you all are as diligent as you are, and you correctly identify somebody at that rally, talk to me about the ethic or the value or the journalism of that.
Sure. Well, you know, I think when it comes down to the inherent tactic of doxing, you know, it comes from a malicious place. I think, you know, with the journalism as an industry being kind of the fifth column of society, it's, you know, integral that we keep the country informed of the truth. And, you know, when it comes to understanding who is behind a website like the Daily Stormer, or who is coordinating smear campaigns of otherwise honest politicians through murky social media accounts, then, you know, doxing someone, or at least identifying who they are in the real world, is a just and important service. But I think the amateur sleuthing that we've seen to just identify every single person who is in attendance at these rallies can be very socially irresponsible, and in fact actually plays into a bit of what we like to call the alt-left and its own sort of version of fake news.
Well, I just want you to persuade me that you're doing this right. So suppose you get it right and you've correctly identified somebody at the rally. Tell me how it is just and important, those were your words, that we know who that person specifically is and where they work, say.
Oh, well, you know, I think that, you know, it doesn't have to do with the people at the rallies. I think it has to do with the people who are spearheading disinformation campaigns, fake news, and people who are ostensibly hiding behind the veils of the internet. I don't necessarily think that outing the people who are at these rallies is a morally just or right thing to do. And I think some of the people who are doing so have misconceptions about the fact that they'll get these people fired from their jobs and ruin their lives, when in fact there are actually certain states in America where it's actually illegal to discriminate on the basis of an employee's political activity or beliefs in or out of work. So in some senses, someone in California or New York could have been outed, but it wouldn't actually affect, you know, their employment or their ability to earn money. So I think just kind of doubling back to that, I think it's really important to identify, you know, who are the purveyors of the websites and the platforms which sort of promulgate these messages. But I don't necessarily think it's just or right to be outing every single person who attends a rally.
Okay. So not the rally goers, but maybe the rally organizers. And
I think that rally organizers, to a certain extent, have accepted their public roles, but not all of them are so public interfacing.
Yeah, I'm no defender of them at all, but I just see it's fraught with trouble. Where do you draw the line, and also what if you get it wrong? And it says in this New York Times story that you folks work to find 8 to 10 people who will corroborate information about somebody. In that same story, they talk about that guy with the Arkansas engineering shirt who looks very much like somebody who is a professor at Arkansas in an allied engineering field, and they look alike. And the one has the shirt on at the rally, but that wasn't the guy who's the actual outed, if you will, professor at Arkansas. So that guy's got hell right now in his life, and he doesn't deserve one bit of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think when we're looking for 8 to 10 pieces of corroborating information, it really is things like home address, vehicle ownership, employment, you know, in addition to, you know, the simple, you know, facial characteristics and everything. When I had actually first seen the photos from the rally, and then, you know, Kyle Quinn's actual photo on the University of Arkansas website, for me, I couldn't understand the glasses thing. You know, as someone who does wear glasses for starters, you know, in an academic setting, it generally helps when you want people to listen to you. So why would you not have glasses in an academic photo?
But the pictures do look similar
to a rally. Yeah, no, there are. There
I could see how the internet got that one wrong. I mean, they, I mean, well, if only if your only way to verify it, and these amateur sleuths, as you describe them, aren't real interested in verifying it to the degree you are. But if your only, you know, means of figuring out who it is was a picture on the school's website, it did look like that guy, right?
It did look a bit like that guy. It also actually looked like a very known white nationalist named Billy Roper. Billy Roper, I would say, has some of the balding patches on the sides of the top of his head and also wears very similar glasses. However, Roper was not there and is much older than the person who, you know, has been kind of highlighted wearing the Arkansas engineering T-shirt. Now, there's actually another theory that's unfolded since the first two names were struck down, that it is actually a student at a University of Arkansas affiliate. However, in my journalistic responsibility of having not confirmed through photo identification or any other way, I would not want to put that name out there into the public.
And even if you did know, say you are able to figure out who that student is with the Arkansas engineering shirt at the rally in Charlottesville, if he's not an organizer or a principal player, but just a hate-filled young white man, aren't you saying that we should not reveal the personal or employment information of this person?
I mean, I think it really depends on the context on a case-by-case basis. If this person in the Arkansas engineering T-shirt happened to commit several crimes or be accused of committing several crimes in the wake of that photo being taken, then maybe there might be sort of more of a responsibility or more of a debate around whether or not that person's identity should be released.
Hold on one second. Let me just pursue it right there. To what end? To what end? I mean, if you thought, oh, my God, that's the guy that committed the crime and I found him, you would tell the police maybe. But what's the point of telling the internet and the whole wide world? What do we get from that?
Well, I think that gets into the question about what is the internet and why people use it. I think that both echo chambers on the left and the right are very keen as a community to share information with each other in an attempt, or at least a self-perceived effort, to bring justice to a situation.
Well, it's a kind of vigilanteism, sure, but so
absolutely.
And I'm not sure that I love that idea, by the way. But then let's say that that plays out, even with the best intentions. What happens then? Maybe he goes to jail. Maybe he doesn't go to jail. Maybe he loses his job at the hot dog stand. Now he's on welfare because he can't get a job because he's that terrible guy. Is that a good resolution for us? I mean, how does that play out?
Well, I think that, you know, exactly that point where he loses his job and now has more reason to be an embittered person against, you know, the American dream that I think we all aspire to. So ultimately, these things on the whole are very destructive and cancerous social behaviors across all political leanings of society.
Well, then are you advocating for it or just saying poop happens and we can't do anything to stop it?
Things happen, and it is important for us to understand who they are happening to and who is making them happen. I think that, you know, amateur sleuthing and the Yes, You're a Racist guy or Jennifer Lawrence's open call on Facebook breeds a culture of irresponsibility. And I think that there's a reason that people go to journalism school. There's a reason people study to do this. There's a reason people do this. There's a reason people are detectives and, you know, forensic investigators. You know, amateur detective work generally, you know, studies have shown that it's not the greatest thing compared to actual police work. So I think that that metaphor fits in here as well, because the professional understands the moral obligations to society in a way that an amateur sleuth certainly won't.
My refrain on Twitter is, if you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. We take the work of journalists and good journalists for granted in this country, and we'll only really appreciate that maybe if we lose it. The president wants to do nothing but minimize the importance of good journalism, and I think if ever, if you give to charity, not that journalists need your charity, but if you want to give to a cause that makes sense for the betterment of America, then subscribe to a flippin' newspaper or endorse our sponsors. I'm not kidding. That's how they and we do what we do. I know that sounds self-serving. It's not why I put you on. I'm out of time, Ben, but I want to talk to you again real soon. Let's follow this story together. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, John.
Ben Decker is a research coordinator at a place called Storyful.